So my theme today is stay connected. And I think for the past few weeks, we've really been digging into what it means to fear the Lord. And I think for a few people, the word fear in the past might have thrown you off because we really have a negative connotation with the word fear. It's something that we need to repent of. It's very prevalent in our everyday lives. It's something, I mean, we sang now, God needs to break fear off of us. But I think sometimes we forget that there is something like a healthy fear. There is a healthy fear that is supposed to keep us safe and alive. It's like, I am not going to go to a lion and pet it because it might kill me. Okay, that's a healthy fear. I am not going to play with fire if I don't understand how it works because it can consume me. There's a healthy fear. I'm a bit scared of the ocean, so Karin and Demi will know. I don't have a noodle, but I am where I can put my feet firmly on the ground. I have a respect and a healthy fear for the ocean because I'm at its mercy. It's big, okay? So today I just want to... the healthy fear, I want to flip the narrative a little bit on the fear of the Lord and say, what if the fear of the Lord is basically the healthy fear of being disconnected from God? It's a healthy fear. I do not want to be disconnected from God. Being connected to God and staying with Him is good for me. Okay, we've been looking at the benefits of the fear of the Lord for 3 weeks now, and we know that there are good things for us when we stay connected to the Lord. There are a lot of blessings that come with that. In the same sense, if there is sin or we did something to break that connection from the Lord, it is bad. I don't want that. Okay, it's like David prayed, please, Lord, don't take your spirit from me. Just don't take your presence from me. That is the fear of the Lord. That we will do anything just to stay close to Him. Okay? And it's so beautiful. Just in preparing, I actually saw this by Danny Silk, where he says, the fear of the Lord is this. It is the power of righteousness. So when I'm in right standing with the Lord already, the power of righteousness puts me in a place where the most important thing to me is to manage my connection to the Father's heart. And today, I want to ask you, I want to ask all of us, is the top priority in your life to stay connected to the Father's heart? To stay connected to Jesus? As followers of Christ, it should be. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And have you seen, and I want you to think about the reality of this, because all of us are guilty. These days, it's more important for people to stay connected to Wi-Fi, or to have cell phone signal, or to have electricity, than it is to stay connected to the presence of God. Think about that. It's scary. Have you seen me when our inverter stops working? It's like, there's so many things. Yeah. Balnofnik is like, are you silly? But anyway, I get it. I mean, if our Wi-Fi goes off or if our cell phone doesn't work, we are cut off. We are disconnected. So we can't do what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? We freak out. Have you seen our WhatsApp group when the Wi-Fi is down, like frot foot and whatever? People don't like being disconnected. And for some people, I mean, all of your work is on the internet, so you might as well close your laptop and go walk outside because you won't be efficient, you won't be on top of it, you won't be connected to your colleagues. So it's like, go do something else. The same applies for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do we even realize that moment of disconnect? Do we even realize the moment we stop walking in the spirit and go over into the flesh? By something we do or say, or how we freak out about the electricity, things like that. Do we experience the same sense of loss or disorientation when we get disconnected from his presence? I love this story. I think I've told every one of you this one already, but I love the story. Smith Wigglesworth was mentoring Lester Summerall, and Lester was preaching, and he was sweating profusely, like preaching his heart out, and he felt this hand on his shoulder, and Smith Wigglesworth said, son, the Holy Spirit left half an hour ago. Now imagine that. You're like preaching your lungs out, and it's like, what have I been doing in the past half an hour? He didn't even realize when he was going into the flesh. And it's a hard one. It's a hard one for us. Another image that came to mind recently was the sporadic connection and disconnection of electronic devices. You know, when you plug something in or when your phone is charging, there's a little light or there's a sign. Okay, good. If it's not plugged in, there's no light. But sometimes when that connection point is faulty, the light flickers on and off, and you still can't use it. There's no consistent power flow going through, you know? And I think it's like that for us sometimes, you know? We walk in the spirit one moment, and then we walk in the flesh another moment, and I think that's going to be a lifelong journey to get right. I mean, it's hard, you know? We have to really spend a lot of time with Jesus. Three children, yeah. But the thing is, the difference between us and electronic devices, we can't fix that connection point manually. We can't do anything to fix it. That connection is fixed relationally. We have to actually relate and connect with the person of Jesus, with the person of the Holy Spirit, and that for that we need to slow down. Do we even sit still long enough where we actually, like even when you come to church, we can come to church and not connect with Jesus. We can worship and not connect with Jesus. We can do a lot of things for God and not connect with him, the source. So do we actually come to a place where we realize, wow, just become aware of where Jesus is? We, as the church, we need to pursue intimate relationship with God. We need to stay connected. And I told Karen, when she's like, what are you preaching on? Like, the same message I always preach. It's like, this is what I'm going to say for the rest of my life. Because it's Jesus is the main thing. God is the main thing. We need to stay connected to God himself, his spirit of life, his power, so that we can be useful and powerful in the kingdom of God. We're kidding ourselves if we think it's different. And we all want to do things for God because we are disciples. That's what we do. Followers of Jesus want to see Jesus' kingdom grow, you know? But for us to be followers of Jesus, we actually have to follow Jesus. We have to imitate Jesus. We need to do what he did. And so this next scripture is just so amazing. Because Jesus was so effective in everything he did. You know, he was powerful. He was fruitful. He was, I think he was charismatic. People loved him, so he drew many people. He taught the multitudes, he healed, he raised the dead. You know, he cast out demons. But, in this next scripture, in Luke 5, verse 16, I don't have all of it on. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So, he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So Jesus was God on earth. But he knew that he was also flesh. And he knew the limitations of his flesh. He couldn't bypass that. So there's an ebb and a flow to what Jesus did. He went out and he did things and then he withdrew alone to be with his Father. He drew away often. And he knew that he needed to be replenished in the presence of his Father. He had to behold his Father to see what he was doing and to hear what he was saying. Because Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. So how did he know? Obviously, he was God, so he probably heard God all the time. But I'm sure he needed to be encouraged at times. He knew what was coming. He was flesh. He needed to be strengthened, and he knew where to get that. He knew his divine source was his Father, and to just behold his dad again. If, as followers of Christ, we are not drawing away often to nurture that connection with our Father, what are we drawing from? Are we drawing from a Sunday service or a sermon? Are we drawing from other people's revelation on Instagram? I love those, but the Lord's like, that's not, you need to come and get from me. I have to look in the eyes of Jesus to know what he wants me to do. Are we getting it from people or our own achievements or our work or our family? For us, like I said, connection with Jesus has to be the main thing, the main focus. I recently heard Stephanie Gretzinger say, and I just love her because she loves Jesus so much. I'm like, I want to love Jesus like that. It's just so inspiring. And she said, Jesus said to the disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't tell his disciples, go and do that, go and do that, go and do that. He said, follow me and I'll make you. So God gives us, when we spend time with him, he gives us the ability to do amazing things and a lot of things, but we'll be okay doing it. We'll be replenished. We'll be refueled. We'll have a source that we can plug into. And so in John 15, Jesus invites us so beautifully to abide in him so that we can bear much fruit. And he wants to do everything in and through us. So, just forgive me. I think I took this from the Message Bible, but I know we know the pieces in the New King James Version and all of that. It's just so lovely how this is illustrated. John 15, verse 4 to 11. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown onto the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, again, fear of the Lord, obedience, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy fully mature, wholly mature. So Jesus himself, we have to follow Jesus. Jesus himself obeyed and abided in the Father. That was what he did. And from there, everything could happen. And I'm going to get to that just later. So we can say here that the benefits of abiding in him will be that when we commune with Christ, we will behold him. When you spend time with him, you will see him. And what you behold, you become. So when we see him, when we spend time with him, we will start to become like him. It will be a natural thing that happens. And when you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit, because the one who is fruitful is in you, and you are becoming like him. You will bear much fruit, because rivers of living water will flow from your belly. That's who he is. And when we abide in God, we will have joy, and we will remain in his love. So it doesn't matter, a lot of people are going through very hectic stuff, but we have a promise that when we abide in him, there will be joy, and we will be able to remain in his love. And when we abide in God, we will produce the fruit that he is longing for. We will produce the fruit that he wants in our lives. And let me tell you, it doesn't always look like we want it to. We want it all to be glorious and fantastic. And sometimes he's working on our character, and that sucks. That's hard. That's the fruit. He's like, Lord, I want to do this in this season, or this needs to happen. It's like, no, you are going to learn to shut up. That is what we're working on now. That is the fruit that is growing. Still not there yet. But, ons werk om uit. Working out my salvation with fear and trembling. So sometimes it looks different than what we thought, because God is after our character. He wants us to become like him in this earth. For Jesus, it looked like the cross. So sometimes it might involve dying to self. But we know that when there's suffering, there's also glory. And we know that when there's pressing, there's oil or wine. So know that he is doing something good. But we are producing the fruit that he is longing for. And I just love the apple tree analogy. I did it when I was a teacher. I did it with my kids in the school, and they loved it. But if you take an apple tree and you plant it in the correct soil and environment, and it gets water, and it gets enough light, and it gets pruned, and it is taken care of, that apple tree will not need to try and push out apples. It won't go like, I'm an apple tree, like, It will not have to try and make apples, okay? Thank goodness. Because of its nature, and because it is connected to branches that are connected to a stump or trunk, and there's life, that apple tree will organically start to bear apples. That's just how it works. And the same applies to us. If we stay connected to God, our source, to Jesus, we will be fruitful. Jesus is life. He is life. Where Jesus is, there will be growth and there will be more life. That's just what happens. Have you seen what people look like and live like that really have an intimate relationship with Jesus? There's no death there. There's no, yes, dying to self, but there's life and joy and love because they spend time with him. And the thing is, when we cannot see fruit in our lives, we can ask ourselves one of two questions. Either, Lord, am I not connected to you at this stage, or am I missing you here somewhere? Because then you are not going to bear the fruit. And the other thing is, If I'm not bearing fruit, am I being pruned? Am I being pruned? I have been pruned lately. It is not fun. You can ask my small group members like every Wednesday when they have to ask, how are you doing? I'm just like, this is horrible and I don't know what's going on. Only at the end I realized, oh, that's what we're doing. We're being pruned. And then I could kind of relax. But the pruning works this way, and I heard this from Lisa van der Merwe. She did this whole thing at the Pastor Wives Retreat, and I was like, oh, that's so beautiful. And only after a month, it was like, poof, that's me. Oh, okay, great. Now we can get on with it. But anyway, there are seasons that are necessary in our walk. Like, we bear fruit, and then God prunes us. And it says there, he prunes the branches that already bear fruit. But the thing is, there's more dense growth and lush growth and sweeter fruit the closer it is to the tree trunk where the source of life and water is. So when you get these uitskieter, I've started gardening, so sometimes a branch just goes there and then it, yeah, and then it starts looking scraggly and the leaves are smaller and more yellow, and with fruit trees the fruit gets smaller and less sweet. So you have to prune it back so that it's closer to the source. The growth is actually then better. So God prunes when there is fruit, so he brings you closer to himself to have more fruit, okay? So that's not fun, because being pruned looks like being cut off, and it feels like being cut off. So for 6 months, I was like, Lord, where are you? I feel so lost. I feel cut off. I really felt cut off. And only, like, when I came to a place of repentance again, realizing, Lord, I don't want to do anything without your Spirit. I cannot do anything without your Spirit. You can take everything away from me as long as I have your Spirit. Then it was like, okay, Edna, you got it. We have to be so dependent on him, and that's why he prunes us back. That's why he disciplines us. One of my dear friends said a while back, she's like, she just never wants to get to a space where she feels like, I've made it, or, you know, you kind of feel okay. And in that moment, I was like, don't worry, God loves you so much, he'll prune you right back, you know? And it is like that, because he loves us, he wants us closer to him, and he does that, so it's for our good. The thing is, for me, I just realized I don't want to do anything. Like Moses said, God, I'm not going if your presence isn't going with me. And that was something that I just, again, needed to, like, solidify in my life. Because we can lose touch with him. He wants to be our main pursuit. Jesus over everything. Jesus, our all in all. One of my all-time favorite scriptures is Psalm 34, verse 5. It says, gaze upon him. Join your life with his, and joy will come. And again, that gaze, beholding Jesus, beholding the Father, so that I can know what he is longing for. So that I can see what he is doing, what he is saying. As Western Christians, we tend to, like, do life, and then we just want God to rubber stamp it quickly. Just like, I'm going to do this thing and just want to make sure God blesses it, you know? If our plans and our hopes fall outside of the perimeters of God's word and his purposes for our life, we set ourselves up for disappointment, for disillusionment, and ultimately disconnect from him. Because then we'll be a little tree there on the side doing our own thing. What we need to be doing is we need to gaze upon him. We need to study him. If we are disciples of Jesus, we need to study him. We need to study His Word. We need to like pursue Him, like Wolfie said. It felt like you took my whole sermon. I'm like, wow, yeah. The pursuit of Jesus should be our main pursuit above everything else. Because He is our source. And then Psalm 34 says, joy will come and we'll glisten with glory. Whose glory will we glisten of? His glory, because our lives will bring Him glory. Our lives will point to Him. And if I haven't clarified the message enough today, to be fruitful children of Jesus, of God, where we look like Jesus and where we walk like Jesus and talk like Him, and where our lives are saturated with the fruit of the Spirit, we need to stay connected to God, to the source of it all. We need to have His life flowing in and through us. And we need to live life on God's terms, not our own. That's what Jesus did. He could have chosen not to do the cross because it was not easy. But He chose God's way. And Romans 8, verse 4 to 21, the solution is life on God's terms. Let us, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. And this is also the message. You can go and read it in the New King James at home. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. And that's basically religion. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self, and here it can be your weaknesses, obsession with your weaknesses and your sin and struggling, or your strengths. It can go both ways. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. And that person ignores who God is and what He is doing, and God is not pleased at being ignored. But, and this is it sums up John 15 so well. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of Him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome Him, in whom He dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin of your body, you yourself experience life on God's terms. And it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and He does, as surely as He did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So I just want to stop there for a minute. It's like, if Jesus is alive, if Jesus and His Word and His love is alive and active in your life, you will not sit around and do nothing. You cannot. That's not what Jesus did. He moved in the power of God. You will be moved by compassion. You will get words for people. You will want to go and get people saved because you know what the answer is. You won't sit around and get fat on revelation and then just pray some more. Okay, praying is good, but you hear what I'm saying. So don't you see that we don't owe this do-it-yourself life 1 cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid and grave-tending life. It's not dead. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" I can just imagine Jesus withdrawing, going to God, and it's like, "Dad, what's next on your agenda? What are we doing next? Where are we going next? Oh, the Samaritan woman. Okay, okay." You know, I can just see that happening. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And that's what we've been singing. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. And if we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. If we share in His suffering, we will share in His glory. And that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. And you all know the rest of Romans 8, where it says, if you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And then in verse 28, God works all things together for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. He is for us and not against us. He intercedes for us. So He helps us when we're weak. And in the end it says we cannot be separated from His love. So that's what we have with Him when we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And our purpose on this earth is only found in connection to Him. He is the life. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Let's pursue life. If church and church meetings don't glorify Him, and I think that's where I got to with the whole pruning process and thing that I went through. If what I do, what I say is not glorifying Him, who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? What are we doing if we have church meetings and sing and it's not glorifying Him, not putting Him on the throne of our hearts, not making Him the Lord of our decisions, not pointing back to Him all the time? He should be our focus and our source. What grieves Him should grieve us. If we're not there, then we have to start praying it. What pleases Him should be our only aim. There are many churches who do a lot of things, or many people, let's say that. Many people who do a lot of things for God, and God has no part in it. The Holy Spirit is nowhere. And God forbid we ever become that. And I don't think we are. May we be known for and marked by people who pursue Jesus above everything, who pursue His presence, the person of Jesus. May our prayers shake principalities, not because of our Olika prayers, but because of the Prince of Peace inside of us, Jesus inside of us. I love that verse that says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the One who loved me and died for me. If He becomes your pursuit, and if He becomes your purpose, and if staying connected to God is your top priority, you will be fruitful. Harvest month will be amazing because we're connected to Him. You will walk in your calling and fulfill the purposes of God on this earth because you become like Jesus. You will experience joy and life because He is life. And people will be drawn to the light in you, just like Jesus drew multitudes. it is a natural organic outflow of spending time with the King. And I just want to stop there. Lily is going to put on a worship song for us just now. And I just really want you, I want us all to just be still for a moment and connect with Jesus. And just, again, just come to a place where we say, Lord, you are everything. And we want to glorify you in everything we do. Lily, you can put it on. So just do business with God. Oh, Lord, you know the limitations of our flesh. You know that we are human, God, and we forget so quickly. We forget so quickly. And Lord, I pray that we won't be like those electronic devices that flicker on and off, but that we'll be connected to you relationally, Lord. That you will be our pursuit, God. God, we owe you everything. We owe you our lives. We owe you everything, God. Help us, Holy Spirit, to gaze upon Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, to see God and to abide in him and to take up residence in him, so that we can be fruitful in this earth. Lord, may we never pursue the fruit, but may we pursue the life. We pursue you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are gracious enough to prune us back to yourself. When we wander off, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the life. And we thank you that you are Dad and we are your children. We bless you in Jesus' name.
I just agree with that, and I just, maybe it's for myself, but I just sense if some of you have sensed the war around your quiet times and times with God, Jesus withdrew often, but that times of withdrawing was powerful, that times of withdrawing led to life and fruit. But I just, maybe it's for me, but maybe for some of us, if your times of withdrawing and being present in his presence has been under attack, and you just want us to pray with you, just raise your hand if you just sense that you're struggling to just connect when you do connect. Just raise your hand. There's a number of people. Thank you, Father God, and I just include myself, Lord, where there's often a war around those times with you, dedicated times that we set out for the word, for worship, for prayer. Lord, we lift up these battles that we see now, and we just ask, Father God, for grace. We just come against any attack of the enemy, Father God, albeit the fact that we might be so busy, but any demonic attack we bind and we cast down. And we ask, Holy Spirit, for grace upon those times for these that raise their hand. We buy out those times. We thank you for the blood. We call upon your name. And we say, let your kingdom come and your will be done when we're in the word. Your kingdom come and your will be done when we are praying, Father God. Your kingdom come and your will be done when we gather together and when we seek your face and when we plug in with times of refreshing with you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your hand upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Eds.